Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our 18th study in the book of Exodus. We come today to chapter 22, verse 9. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. God says to Israel, and they are at Mount Sinai receiving the law of the Lord. Exodus 22, 9. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. God was Israel's king. Judges were his representative rulers. They were to try and they were to determine cases using God's word and God's law. And you see, by doing that, God was actually working through the judges, and in reality, he was running the country. Verse 10. It says, if a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, is hurt, or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. We have a God who sees everything that we do, hears everything that we say, and knows everything that we think. We have a God who disciplines us for the things that we do wrong. Living in the awareness of the presence of that God is the thing that restrains sin. If someone back then took an holy oath that they were innocent, they were innocent. There's no doubt about it. God was real to them. No one in their right mind would swear by God and then lie. Verse 12. But if, in fact, it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If someone borrows their neighbor's animal and it is stolen, while he has it, the borrower has to buy him a different one. And again, God is emphasizing personal responsibility. 13. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn. If the borrower could produce evidence that a wild animal killed it, he didn't have to pay for it. Verse 14. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it not being with it, he shall surely make it good. If its owner was with it, he shall not make it good. If it was hired, it came for its hire. If we borrow something, then God expects us to take care of it. If someone thinks, well, I'm just borrowing it, it's not mine, I don't have to take care of it, they better understand that God says they must take care of it, and God will hold them accountable if they do not. Verse 16. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If a guy takes advantage of a girl, he cannot just say, well, it's been fun, goodbye. You do that to a girl, God says you pay the father the bride price, which would then be set aside for her. And he also has to take care of the girl. See, those rules would make a guy think twice about taking advantage of a girl. 17. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. If the dad says, no way, I'm not giving my daughter to him, then she did not have to go with the guy, but he still had to pay for doing what he did. See, God clearly wanted there to be a price to pay for impurity. 18. You shall not permit a sorcerer or a sorceress to live. Things like tarot cards, fortune tellers, psychics, horoscopes, Ouija boards, and the rest of those things, they may be called entertainment, but they are perverted conduct to God. He absolutely forbids it, and there's no way to get around that. Verse 19. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Now, I wish I wouldn't even have to talk about this one, but it's here. And I know it goes on in the world today, and it's a very hideous sin to Almighty God. And it was the death penalty for anybody who did this sort of thing. 20. He who sacrifices to any god except the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. There is one God. He is the God who gave us this holy scripture and is revealed in this holy book. He is our creator and he demands our devotion. If it was not for him, none of us would be here. It is right to obey him, and anyone who has a problem with that, I would say, has a problem. 21. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. A foreigner in the nation Israel was not entitled to any special treatment, but God made it a crime to take advantage of someone simply because they are easy prey as a foreigner. 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Most widows and orphans had one thing in common. They've lost their protector and their provider. They are among the vulnerable. And God is saying, do not take advantage of them. Be nice to people who are in situations like that, is what he is saying. 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. See, somebody vulnerable like that, they may not have a man to protect them, but God is watching, and if they cry out for justice, he will hear them. But that's not all. Verse 24, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. You know, some people who take advantage of others escape the justice of man, but you can be sure that they will never escape the justice of God. Verse 25, if you lend money to any one of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. And this rule is for situations that occur between God's people. If a fellow Christian is going through hard times financially, loan them some money, or give it to them. But don't charge them interest. In other words, help people to be nice, not to get something in return. 26. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. In other words, have some sympathy. God says, do not let the poor man freeze to death. The Bible says God desires mercy. Verse 28. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Now this does not mean you must agree with everything that a ruler does. It does not mean you can't publicly disagree with a ruler. It means disagree with them, but do it in a respectful way. 29. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Verse 30. Likewise you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the 8th day you shall give it to me. The lesson here is give God what he wants. If he is asking you to do something, if he is asking you to give something, then do not delay. The problem with delaying is that the problem with delaying is that it sometimes leads to not doing at all. Verse 31. And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Now, you are my people, God is saying. You are my people. Act with some dignity. When an animal finishes eating his prey, don't eat the leftovers. You know, God's people should be proper. Never rude, never crude. Chapter 23, verse 1. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. In other words, do not slander. God forbids malicious gossip. Now, this doesn't mean you can't point out evil. This is talking about spreading negative untruths, or maybe half-truths about someone behind their back. Boy, if people obeyed God, this world would be such a nicer place to live, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be more pleasant, so much more pleasant than what it is? Verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute, so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Do not go along with the majority if it is morally wrong. That's the lesson here. In other words, let the crowds do what they want to do. But God says, you are my child. You stand with me. You do what is right, even if it is not popular. Verse 3. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. God demands equal justice. Be kind to the poor, but never pervert justice on their behalf. 4. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. God demands people be nice. Be nice to your enemy. Do nice things for them. If they need help and you can help, offer it. God is nice to those who hurt him all the time. Verse 5. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. Animals are God's creation, and he wants us to be good to them. Verse 6. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. There should be no favoritism in the courtroom at all. You know, it's not right to feel sorry for the less fortunate and overlook their guilt. But it's not right to decide a case against them simply because they are poor or people of little or no influence either. Verse 7. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. You say, well, I don't like the idea of a guilty person getting off simply because there's reasonable doubt. Well, you know what? He won't get away with it. God says right here that he will not acquit the guilty. A human judge or jury may blow it once in a while, but God knows. And in eternity, there will be justice. Verse 8, and you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. A strong conscience causes people to do the correct thing. Well, a bribe dulls that strong conscience. And that's why people in positions of authority, whether at work, in church, civil government, whatever, must have strong moral character. They must be the type who cannot be bought. Verse 9. You also shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know what it's like to feel out of place. So when you see others in that situation, treat them the way you would like to have been treated when you were in that situation. If someone's uncomfortable, try to make them comfortable. God is saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So much of God's law is just common sense, common decency. We'll pick up our study right here next time. Until then, so long, everyone.